poor taste.
Well, that's true. Those aren't mutually exclusive. Witness your teaching. Now that was weird.
We don't know.
Now we're going to go to Romans, back to Romans 5:1 for a minute. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, it's interesting, all these, the verbs in that, those two verses are in the what's called the perfect tense, where it's the thing that is necessary, that you think is necessary for something to take place, it's already happened. And so the idea that you continually, constantly, never endingly have access to peace, it never stops. And peace, by definition, the word is Irene in Greek. Peace means the absence of any possible againstness. Now, this is a big deal, because your mind will always tell you that there is an issue about something. You have something to do, there's something wrong, there's something, you have an issue with somebody, or always. It's always, never-endingly that way. And so it's the proof, again, just by the verb tenses, that we're being deceived when we think there's anything wrong. It never stops. The deception will never, ever stop if you believe what your senses tell you. But the peace is always there. There's never a time when it isn't. And in him, you have total absence of againstness. Does that make sense to anybody? And so whenever you perceive againstness, it can only be one thing that's happening. It's revealing either guilt or idolatry within you. Are you here, Miss?
There's a scripture someplace that talks about dogs gnawing the bone till night or all night or something like that. And that's what I think of when we talk about this. I know that my mind is a dog that has to have a bone to chew. There would be something wrong.
So now, and with that in mind, I want to go down to this next verse wherein we talk about. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And because we always know that the issue is always settled, it's always peace, then we glory in it. We glory not, I don't know how to say this. You don't glory in the midst of it, but you're glorying because of it. You have this feeling of thankfulness and glorying because of the tribulation, because knowing that without that tribulation, you would still remain in idolatry and guilt. Does that communicate? Now, you will always find, I promise you, you may have already done it this morning, you'll always have something where your senses tell you that there's something, an issue going on. And that never stops. That is the inheritance of the saints. You will never be in a position where your mind doesn't tell you that something is wrong. And this brings up the thing about what we talked about talebearing, because in talebearing, you affirm to another that something is wrong. And you disaffirm this access by faith, or into faith, into peace. And it never stops. This will always take place in your life. I think you can see 1,000 examples of it if you look back honestly in your life. Anybody have any response to it?
This is an extreme example is Peter telling Christ, no, 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 we won't. It's wrong. We won't let you suffer and die.
Now, this whole process, this issue of tribulation and glorying because of the tribulation, it can't happen without some intervention, without supernatural intervention, because you're hardwired not to do that. Now, if you can think of the number of times in your life when you were convinced something was wrong, but if something is wrong, then everything is wrong. Harry's the best example because he goes through it so often. Everything is wrong. He's going to have to leave. He's going to have to get blah, blah, blah. And in a single, nothing changes. Absolutely nothing happens. No change to the situation in an instant. He's at perfect peace. Now this is what we exhort each other daily. Not to behave in some way or to do something, but to remind everyone always that about this grace wherein we stand, that it's never not there. And the only thing that's keeping it from being manifested in you is this, the Holy Spirit revealing either guilt or idolatry within you. And you'll be convinced unto death that other person is wrong, and something is wrong, and you've got to take care of it. Something's got to be done. But it's all a lie. Everybody, is there anybody that doesn't believe this or doesn't understand it?
I understand it in trivial things. Harry gave an example that's like a big example. I understand it well in trivial things because I know that anything will do for the mind to be occupied. Any little thing will do. It's completely arbitrary almost. Random. Not random, but it's just
hard work.
Has something and it's, yeah. It can be any little thing.
Yeah. Now, remember we talked about the other things, and it's and patience, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That's that steadfast endurance, and the verb tense or the verb meaning is to remain under that thing, remain under it, so that by having nothing change, you can see the mystery. And that's what this is what the word obedience in the scriptures means. It's that you hear under, no matter what conditions there are. You see the perfection of His holiness in everything, no matter what it appears to your mind. And it's wonderful.
The desire for this is in all men, and it's what fuels everything. Work hard, get a job, get ahead, make money, save your money, invest your money, move to a gated community. Make sure the lawn is perfectly manicured. Make sure the house is perfectly clean. Make sure your wardrobe is exactly right. It's an attempt to create this in the natural.
And it never works, obviously.
And it can never, ever work. There'll always be a speck of dust on the floor or a fly on the wall.
You're hardwired for self-realization. Not you, but every man. You're hardwired for self-realization because of the fall, and because you're hardwired for self-realization, you're hardwired for conflict avoidance. And there's nothing that you hate worse than conflict. No matter how many times Gary says I like to make people mad at me. Each of us are hardwired for conflict avoidance, and we're hardwired for self-realization. Both things, it's this conundrum. by being hardwired for self-realization, we can never avoid conflict, because your self-realization will always be in conflict with someone else's. That's why you, by nature, you try to hang out with people like yourself, with the people that have the same value systems, the same, the whole package. You try to find out, and you avoid people for which there is conflict. Well, that's, again, believe it or not, the prayer that I have said from the beginning, from the day I became a believer, is to the world, the devil, and the flesh, take your best shot. And I've said it for me, and I've said it for all of us. Take your best shot to the world, the devil, and the flesh. Because I knew from the beginning, at some deep, deep level, that was necessary in order that this mystery of that we've been put to the test for the purposes of being approved, not put to the test for the purposes of disapproval. There's no more wrath.
Just think about rejoicing because of tribulation. In the area of the perfecting of the saints. Without that, you know, you come up against an Adolf Hitler, or you come up against a child molester, or you come up against Satan himself, and it's enough to cause you to fall, to fail, because surely that's wrong. Surely that's to be hated. Surely that is to be extinguished. As opposed to seeing that it's all from the hand of God and it's all exactly as it should be. The only way to be perfected is to know that. Otherwise, there will always be an Adolf Hitler or something that you cannot forgive.
Well, yeah, you're constantly in bondage. It's so from the standpoint of how one conducts and how one what their daily life is, their quote unquote walk, I don't think there's anything more important than understanding this, because this is what will test it. This is what will try you on a second by second basis. So affliction brings patience, and patience brings experience. That means tested integrity, so that you're not double-minded any longer. There isn't two of you. You're not at war with yourself on a constant basis. If you're not at war with yourself, you won't be at war with anyone else. When I've talked about this a long time ago, people would say, well, what are you doing with these televangelists then? Well, I don't know. I don't have any investment in it. It's simply that which was put in front of us. And so certainly don't have anything against any of them. I don't think any of them should go to hell. My prayer for them is the same as my prayer for you, that you would see the real Jesus and stop following a Jesus that your mind has invented. As I said last night, the two most important words in the Bible are reckon and let. Reckon yourself crucified, and let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And if you reckon yourself crucified, the automatic is that you see that you are risen with him. If you try to do the Copeland thing, yeah, we're risen, now I'm a little God man. Well, that'll obviously come. The idiocy of that will be revealed in 2 seconds.
Little being the operative term.
No, it's this whole theology. It's the basis of what now is the prosperity gospel. It started out as, I'm a king's kid. We are, and we've been, John and I for a couple of years now, we've talked about integrity. And you can't have integrity unless affliction has proven that there is patience, and patience has shown that it's tested, and so that there's nothing that's going to take you away. There's nothing that's going to bring you off the mercy seat. So this whole the reason I wanted to talk about this whole bit is, it's the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. It's a quote by one of the few people that I really respect, a guy named Thayer, translated. So nothing can swerve, nothing can take you away. And this is what I know you want. But are you willing to pay the price for that momentary feeling of being right, so that it will, it just, everything goes to hell again? The momentary, the food you get when you, start tailbearing or gossiping, it's like you're both of you chewing on this body. So again, that's the characteristic of one who is unmoved from a deliberate purpose in this faith. And the purpose is, you don't even know what it is, but the purpose is that you must be in 100% total submission as a small child to God, and trusting that nothing can take place in your life that isn't from His perfect will. It's the best there can be for you. And this is what gives you the steadfastness, the constancy. Otherwise, you just, every little thing that comes down the pike will get you. That's all I'm going to talk about this morning. Think. That's why it talks about throughout the scriptures that whoever is a follower of Him, there will be suffering or affliction. Anybody have any other response?
I had never seen anything like that in my life. I was just blown away, and I was sad, and then all of a sudden I was shaking because I was so angry. And it's just going up there in my head thinking, God, what the hell? Why did you, why this? Why that? I don't understand. And then finally figuring out later, I'm not supposed to understand some of my business.
Especially if something upsets you.
Right.
That's why it's, let not the sun go down on your anger. And that anger doesn't mean like fiery anger. It means let not the sun go down on anything that is a weight to you at any given second. Again, remember that in the Hebrew calendar, everything is backwards. The sun sets. The first day of the year is just when everybody else is. It's Rosh Hashanah, which is in the fall when everything is going to get dark and cold. You always face. I was going to talk about this last night when we were singing that song. You're face to the rising sun. face to the rising, you're forbidden to face the rising sun, yeah, because that means that you're still worshiping the east or tomorrow. That's something you think something better will happen tomorrow. So you must see that at all times your death in order that his life will be manifest. The Hebrew language has no past tense and no future. It's all now. So when you read the scriptures, you know, God said, let there be light. God is saying right now, let there be light to the darkness that you are know you're experiencing. And that's why everything, one of the definitions, it says, I write unto you little children because your sin is forgiven. I write unto you teenagers because you know the Father, nothing else. Prayer won't help you in that state, nothing, but you know the Father. I write unto you young adults because you are strong and the word of God abideth continually in you and you have overcome the evil one. And I write unto you fathers because you've been with him since the beginning. And you've been with him since the beginning because as you read the scriptures in Hebrew, you experienced each of those phenomena. But you weren't ever the pursuer. You were never Abel who Cain slew. You were Cain who slew Abel. You were never Abraham. You were always Nimrod. You were never the good guy. You were always the bad guy. And that way you can see throughout the history that it's always been you after the flesh that did the evil. You crucified him afresh. And until you see that, you can't partake of the revelation of his resurrection. Amen? Because otherwise your mind won't let it. Your mind is still on the track to self-realization. Alrighty, take a big guy.